The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the school's well back at this stage, which means the coughs and colds, they're back. The high temperatures, they're back. And yes, the head lice, they are back as well. Andrew Hennessy is with me of the head lice experts. And it gives me no pleasure whatsoever to say he's brought a few guests with him into studio. Andrew, you've brought head lice.
Yeah, great to be here. Yeah, well, you have to know what you're talking about to have a look at it. It makes a big difference to see them live there.
So what do I have in my hand here?
So I just sellotaped on a white sheet. Some examples of fully grown, some mid-life, some males, females. You'll see that they have six legs. Each leg has a claw.
Yeah.
Or a pair of claws, rather. And that's what they grip severely to the hair shaft and they crawl around.
Oh, wow, I can see it, yeah. Because you've given me this magnifying glass as well. You can really see them.
They don't jump, they don't fly, they don't hop, they walk. They walk almost the length of a school ruler in a minute. It's a contact sport. You know, they don't spread like some people believe that they jump around. They don't. They walk.
So when your kid comes home with head lice, it's because their head has touched someone else's head with head lice.
You could literally make it up, but generally, yes, in close quarters. I mean, you could say that they put on the wrong jacket and maybe one fell onto a jacket. You can make up the scenarios, but it is through transfer. Head-to-head contact generally.
Okay.
So we would get teachers, for example, SNAs would be very popular. They come into us because they're in close quarters leaning over a child or something like that.
So you've brought them sellotaped to this sheet of paper as well, which, like I say, I find that's absolutely fascinating with the magnifying glass. You've brought other samples in with hair inside these little plastic capsules. If Pat Kenny or anybody is listening, Pat, don't worry. We are not letting head lice loose around the studio. Don't worry. Kathy won't have to go at you with the dreaded comb. After this, they're trapped inside this filter. So tell me how you capture them. This is interesting.
So when somebody comes to us, we do nothing more than really you do at home, only an accelerated, more forensic version. The secret to beating head lice is through extraction. It doesn't matter how you do it. It's just that you have to extract. The factor that fools people basically is the fact that when they first lay the egg is a sack of fluid, translucent sack that you cannot see. So when you're combing through the child's hair, to use that as an example, and you take everything out you can see, the egg that was laid in the last 2 or 3 days is not visible to the human eye. So if you can't see it, you can't take it out. So because of the life cycle and how they grow and how they mate and lay eggs, you must go back a second time a few days later and comb it out. People tend to sit down. I mean, Ireland, no homework, no dinner, and everyone fights. That's head lice.
Mm-hmm.
They'll comb out the first child's hair 4 hours. They might give the second child an hour and a half. The third child doesn't get a look in. And that's why it fails in the family environment, because it's a laborious task that is generally put on one parent because they're better than the other or whatever, at it or more patient. But it is extraction. The products, I'm 52, when I was a child, would kill a horse, never mind a lice.
Oh, God, remember them.
Everyone remembers the smell. The nasty chemicals involved in the success of those products have been removed from the food chain, if you like. And now the focus is on the life cycle and extracting the lice, although it doesn't quite tell you that. It says that, oh, this will work if you use it, but in the small print, if you use it this way. So
okay.
Each louse, when they lay an egg, it takes about 16 days for that to lay, become an egg, hatch through these various growing phases called molts, up to about day 16. It'll then mate once and then lay up to about 8 eggs a day, each one. So when somebody comes to our clinic, we would take 50 to 100 crawlers, maybe out of the average child. If you can imagine, that's hundreds of eggs if not dealt with, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay, so a huge, huge amount. So do I take it then you need, there's male and female strapped to this piece of paper in front of me. If a man jumps across to your head, you're all right?
Walks across, yeah.
Or sorry, walks across, they don't jump.
They don't
if
jump,
he walks across, you're grand.
Well, definitely, but the fact is that it's never won. Somebody who's infested to a certain level that they're transferring them is always more.
Okay.
So it would be common for somebody to come to us and say, I know who it is, you know, and they name the person. We would see kids from the same class who don't even know they're coming to us together because it's a certain geographical area or problem and so on. So it's always a problem, basically.
I would suggest that sometimes when mum or dad says, I know who it is, they're being a little unfair and they're picking maybe on a kid in the class who, and I want to be as sensitive as I can here, but for whatever reason, maybe things going on at home that maybe, you know, hygiene or cleanliness has slipped. And is that a reality?
Yes and no.
Okay.
The thing is, head lice actually prefer clean, dry hair because they can walk. So it's almost an affluent problem, you know, really, in schools, because they've fine big heads of hair that are clean, comfortable, and walk around. The type of cases we deal with for, let's say, the government stuff and the agencies is circumstantial. More what you're talking about. That's different. That's not your stereotypical head lice school issue. And what people talk about is when they know that the teacher has passed on maybe a bit of information or whatever, that there is somebody in the class, and then they make assumptions like you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, there's nothing worse than getting that email, though, from the teacher. Yeah. There's head lice in the class. So when you get the email, I mean, what should you be doing? Is it just the kind of the standard off the shelf shampoos and stuff until they appear, or what should
exist.
You do?
If they worked, we wouldn't exist.
Okay.
No, you take the Dutch model as an example. They have almost a traffic light system where the parents get involved, and they would actively and openly screen children. So let's say two parents would take over the responsibility, the lucerne mother, they call it, the lice mothers, even though it's men and women who do it, and they would send the child home after screening with a green or a red card. And if the child goes home with a red card, you've got a job to do that night. If the child goes home with a green, it's clear. But they're proactive. In Ireland, we deal with the problem when it's hit us in relation to head lice. So the note comes home, everyone checks possibly, but we should be checking weekly. Based again on the life cycle, if you check your child's hair every week or say 10 days and you find nothing, and then 1 week you check and you found something, well, you know that a week ago I found nothing, so this can't be that bad. But we don't. We just check when there's a problem and it's an infestation.
After they have been found and even dealt with, what about kind of things like the clothes they were wearing over that period, the couple of weeks when maybe kind of, you know, eggs were going through their stages and mum and dad were maybe crawling around in the head somewhere, or multiple mums and dads?
Well, those lice there were extracted yesterday and there's very little movement left in them. Like when you start to agitate them, which you're not going to take the lid off that, but you'll see they'll start to move around. But if they were freshly extracted through our device, let's say, you'd see them walking around quite quickly.
Okay.
So they die within...
Oh yeah, I got a bit of movement there now.
Yeah, they die within 1 or 2 days of coming off the head because they stop feeding. And that's their mission in life, basically.
Okay.
So, I mean, unless...
So you don't need to be, like, I'm not suggesting people don't kind of wash the bed sheets or they don't clean clothes, but you don't need to be kind of terrified about them living for weeks on end on the collar of a jacket.
No, absolutely not. You know, no boil washes are necessary. You know, by the time they're, in most houses, the clothes hit the wash, it's a couple of days later anyway, they're well gone.
Yeah.
They don't burrow, so pillows and mattresses and stuff like that, they're not
diaper. They're just on the surface.
Parasites. The surface, exactly. They're happy on the head. They're head lice. They're genetically programmed for human hair, or human blood, rather, for feeding.
My mam is great fun. I fondly remember the joy she used to have cracking knits with her fingernails. She loved it. Little sounds of delight. But I didn't love the knit comb and the head slaps, says the listener. Is it more of a problem if your hair is longer, curlier hair? Does all of that matter?
They live in up to, like, comfortably in 5 mil of hair. So I'm built for speed, basically. And
yeah.
But so they wouldn't be so happy in me. But in another thing, let's say men get away with, it's not their kryptonite, but they don't like the testosterone in the male blood. So whereas we've done in 10 years, over 100,000 clients, we've done a handful of men.
Really?
Once puberty kicks in, the boys get away with it, basically. You know, as the testosterone starts to flow, we see less and less and less. You would see someone like yourself or a Michael Bolton type hair who comes in and he's unfortunate enough to have a couple of...
She's saying my
kids.
Hair looks like Michael Bolton's. There,
but you've got some. Yeah, so... but, you know, you could help transfer them through the hugs and the affection you're getting off your five-year-old. Share them around.
I was an NHS school nurse. I asked all parents to an assembly to go through head lice treatment as there was an infestation in a primary school. Not one parent showed. So I did the assembly to the kids and gave combs out, and the kids got rid of their own lice without the help from mum and dad. Since somebody, an experience from back in the day, obviously. So are there kind of life cycles at particular times of year? Is it just that schools are kind of back now, so it's kind of back on people's agenda, or what happens?
Well, people thought COVID would do away with it, and we were busier than ever. We did close during COVID, but we were immediately back open afterward, more or less, and it's been as busy as ever.
That the anti-head lice industry, there was one of the hidden victims of COVID now, I have to say. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, no, people in close quarters. We would be busy, let's say, quail talk time of the year. Kids coming back from being all bunched together up in Galway and so on in Connacht. And, you know, we would be busy. There's certain hot spots, but other than that, we're steady through the year, to be honest.
All right. Well, listen, Andrea, it's been really interesting.
No.
So thanks a million, Fred, for coming into us. And thanks for bringing your little pals in with us as well. Only one or two of them escaped. That's all I'll say. Andrew Hennessy of the Headlights Experts. Andrew, thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.